Today's devotion is titled, Jesus Said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. While the ongoing war is going on in Iran, God is at work in a wonderful and powerful way. Many Iranian folk are having dreams and visions where Jesus appears to them. The women folk of Iran have little value and kept in submission by the laws of Iran. But when they have these visions from Jesus, he appears to them in a deep, loving and compassionate way. Often, we read that Jesus will say to them, I am the way, the truth and the life. There is no question in the hearts of the Iranian people once Jesus speaks to them. His all-powerful presence and charisma leaves them in no doubt as to whom is speaking to them. Many immediately search out for a Christian underground church. Soon after joining these underground churches, they, through reading the Bible, come across those life-changing words spoken by Jesus in John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is so life-changing for them. It brings a great deal of reassurance to them. Many become true followers of Jesus. Let's look at the first part of this verse. Jesus said, I am the way. It grieves me to see folk mindlessly following their various pursuits, unaware that they are heading down a dark road, heading for a Christless eternity. The same is said when visiting a funeral of a friend who we know was not a born-again Christian. We read in Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, that is Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We're reminded in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way that appears to be right, but the end of it leads to death. In contrast, we read in Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young person stay on the path of purity by living according to your word? We also read in Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Here is how we can know the right path to follow. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. We need to know what God expects of us, how we should live, and read God's word as our guide. As well as knowing God's word, we should seek to hear his voice speaking to us and directing us. So by reading the Bible, God will, by his Holy Spirit, guide you into understanding who God is, who his son Jesus is, and show you how you can become a follower of Jesus and choose the right path. Jesus is the way. He shepherds his people. He gives us direction. He does not drive. He leads. What path are we to take? How should we avoid missing the true way and follow Jesus? Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 to 15, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the way Narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. The writer cautions us in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Mankind is running headlong down the wide, broad way. We need to stop and ask God for guidance. We read in Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. By reading the Bible, God's word, we will learn God's righteous ways to live, remembering the Lord is by our side at all times. We should seek him and ask him to guide us. We should seek him and ask him to guide you. We are reminded in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. God says to us in Jeremiah 29:11-13, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In reading your Bible, there may be a verse that strikes your heart. You sense it is God speaking to you. You may have a change in circumstances or change of job. Someone may ask you or invite you to take a specific role in your church. All these are ways God can direct your path. During a short pilgrimage to Israel, I watched the shepherds leading their sheep, but the herdsman with the goats drives from behind. The goats don't know which way they should go. Jesus, as our good shepherd, leads the sheep, whereas Satan drives. He wants mankind to lead a disoriented lifestyle. We also see that Satan is out to destroy. We read in 1 Peter 5:8 and 9, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We are assured by what we read in Isaiah 48:17. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Mankind continues to make and do deceitful things. It is hidden from view. It is not transparent. Satan lives in darkness. In darkness, no one can see one another. We become disorientated. It brings division. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. How vital and important for us to seriously embrace what Jesus said to his disciples in John 17, 20-22. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. How vital to have unity in the church by walking on the same path, in the same direction. It gives us strength when we're all pulling together. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Jesus is the way and the truth. In the world, for some people, truth is considered evil and evil good. Mankind tries to deceive by telling untruths, lies. We can trust God. He is unchanging. He is faithful. He is truth. What he says will happen. God says in Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. We read in Hebrews 13:7 and 8, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, and forever. Just before he was crucified, Jesus prayed to his Father, bringing a very sacred petition. He prayed in John 17, 17. In the Amplified Bible we read, Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. During the trial of Jesus before his death, during their questioning, they recognized Jesus for who he was. We read in Mark 12, 12-17, then the chief priests, the teachers of the law and the elders, looked for a way to arrest him because they knew he had spoken the parables against them. But they were afraid of the crowds, so they left him and went away. Later, they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? He asked. Bring me a denarius and let me look at it. They brought the coin and asked them, whose image on this and whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. We notice here that the religious leaders, the chief priests and teachers of the law, recognized Jesus was the way and the truth by saying, Teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the word of God in accordance with the truth. Sadly, Many do recognize Jesus for who he is, but have no desire to become a true follower. During the trial of Jesus before being taken and nailed to the cross, there was a dispute between the Jewish leaders and Pilate. In the morning when Pilate appears, he said to the Jewish leaders in John 18, 29 to 38, "What charges are you bringing against this man? If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate says, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews, gathered there, and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. So, whose side are we on? Are we on the side of truth? Where can we go to know the truth?" Today, listening to the media, we receive opposing views on many matters of life, which can leave us confused, giving instability in our daily lives. We need to know what is true. In our society, we see division, for example, in breakdown of marriage. Listening to some who appear to have great knowledge, they're very compelling, but turning out to be deceivers. Listening to untruth, we become unconcise, uncertain, making rash and unwise decisions, sometimes becoming trapped because of those decisions. Great leaders choose good advisors, as quoted in Proverbs 11, 13 and 14. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Mankind is looking for a standard of life as a guide, a standard they can trust. Jesus is the truth. We read in John 8, 31 and 32, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Telling lies can bring anxiety. We have to hide those lies. But if we tell the truth, it will free us up from anxiety. We can walk with our heads up high and with a clear conscience. When making big decisions, we need to ensure we know the truth. In the Bible, we learn how important it is to seek good advice from trustworthy people. We read in Proverbs 15:22, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." Also, in Proverbs 11:14, we read, "For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Where can we go to? Who can we go to? It is none other than Jesus, who is the way and the truth. Let's read what Isaiah prophesied of Jesus in Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If we need guidance along life's pathway, Jesus can be our true counselor and guide. God is able to guide and lead us. We get assurance by what we read in Isaiah 30, verse 20. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." What did God say in Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13? "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." David truly knew his God to be the way. He said in Psalm 23, 1 to 6, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We need to ensure we do not follow the ways of the world. The Bible clearly tells us that in these last days, the days we are now living in, there will be a breakdown in society which will go up from bad to worse. The Apostle Paul, speaking to his child in the faith, Timothy, wrote in 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, of having a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people." David truly knew what it was to follow the ways of God. He said in Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, eternal pleasures at your right hand." Let us seek to follow the Lord faithfully, learning in his ways, being guided in his ways, because we can be assured of great reward and blessing. Fanny J. Crosby, who at the age of 6 went blind due to being administered the wrong medication, became a loved composer of hymns. Fanny, with a deep love for her Lord, wrote the hymn with great conviction, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." With the assurance that Jesus is the truth, Fanny was inspired to write the chorus to that hymn, "Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Each one of us can also have that assurance. when we invite Jesus into our lives. Finally, we read, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we accept that Jesus is the way and the truth, we can be assured of a life of peace and assurance. We read what Jesus said in John 10, 17 to 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay down and authority to take it again. This command I receive from my Father. Jesus is very God. He has the power and authority to lay his life down and to raise it up. What an assurance for us. If we know we are a child of God and have invited him into our hearts by faith, we are guaranteed a home in him. We indeed can know Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. On another occasion, Jesus said in John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. Because Jesus rose triumphantly from the dead, he has overcome the power of death. Jesus said in John 14, 15 to 21, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus reassures us in Luke 18, 29 to 30. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brother or sister or parent or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come, eternal life. During my childhood, Christians emphasized the importance of becoming a Christian to know that I had eternal life. Eternal life was regarded as something in the future when we leave this world to be with Jesus for eternity. But it was not made clear to me and not emphasized that eternal life starts immediately I give my life to Jesus. I can experience the joy of a Christian life now on earth. Jesus said in John 10, 9 to 11, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes out to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. God is our Heavenly Father. He is loving and kind and wants to share his love on us. He wants to give good gifts to his children. But we have to ask. We read what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts will give good gifts to those who ask him. Let us in our hearts echo the prayer spoken by David in Psalm 25, 1-7. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my Saviour, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Throughout this devotion, the word trust plays a key role in us finding Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Let us continue the theme of trusting by listening to the words of this lovely hymn. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord." And the chorus reads, "Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust him more."
Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh. Yeah.